grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. John declares in our epistle reading, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." If you think about it, this is really amazing. The love St. John is writing about is God's unconditional love toward us. It is love that he has no matter what. It is a love that is not based on our worthiness or how well we treat God, but instead it is a love that is boundless, it is gracious, it is merciful, and it is a love that originates in God. So it is a love that comes from outside of us. This love is so amazing because despite our inability to love others in this same way, God still loves us in this way. And in this love, God calls us as his own children. His only begotten Son is Jesus. And so if we are children of God, then that means Jesus is now our brother. Let's think about this, children of God. If you are a parent, think about the love that you have for your own children. Now think for a moment the type of mistakes that your children have made, the sins that your children have done against you, how they have hurt you through their words, through their deeds, through the things that they should have done but did not do. Just think about their uncanny ability to find ways to get under your nerves. Because you love your children, you probably have forgotten most of the sins that your children have committed against you. And you probably rarely, if ever, remind them of their sin. Or if you do, you might do so out of just simply good humor. You may remember some of their sins, but you are unwilling to bring your children's trespasses to mind, because you simply don't hold their sins against your own children. Why is this? Because you love your children. You love your children in an unconditional manner. Even though your children have sinned against you more than anyone else has sinned against you, you love them anyway. You have such a strong bond toward them that there's nothing that can cause you to withdraw your love from your own children. So when your children suffer, you suffer. When your children commit a serious offense, you are grieved more than any other because of their own actions. And yet you keep on loving them. You keep on forgiving them. You keep on loving them and receiving them with wide open arms. The love that you have toward your own children is so inexpressible, your children do not understand it or realize it until perhaps when they have grown and have children of their own, and then reflect on the type of love that your parents must have had on you. In love, you do just as the loving father did with his son in the parable of the prodigal son. I'm sure you can recall this parable, the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son treated his father as if he were dead by going up to his father and saying, "Please give me my inheritance. I want to leave your house and I want to go do my own thing." But then that son, the father amazingly gave that his inheritance to his son. And the son then goes out, lives in prodigal living, squanders his entire inheritance, is living with the hogs, desiring to eat what they're eating, and then he finally realizes that, hey, his father's servants had a better life than he currently has, so he should be able to go back to his home, not be a son to his father, but instead be a servant to his father. His father might be willing to hire him as a servant. So he intended to make this request. He goes up to his father. He apologizes. But Luke does not report if he actually was able to get out his request. Instead, his father received him back not as a servant, but as a son. The father was so happy to see his son who treated him shamefully that he threw a feast for him. And when the oldest son, who was loyal to his father, saw what was going on, the older son got angry. Father was not angry with either son. The father was forgiving and loving of them. The father wanted his son back, and so he received him with wide open arms. The father loved both of his sons unconditionally. And that is the type of love that our Father has given to us. As it is written, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. You see, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Every offense that we have caused against others is an offense against God. So every time we sin, we are actually sinning against God. There is no time in which we have possibly sinned against ourselves or against our neighbors but did not sin against God. For we have been a rebellious people. We've been stiff-necked. We constantly complain, even though God has always taken care of us. We pretend that we are living in rough and unique times, even though God has been with us and has spared our lives. He has protected us, and he has demonstrated his love for us by keeping his word among us. We often do not take much time to pray to our Lord. We often take the word of God for granted, including the church and the divine service. We often do not cherish life as God himself does. And we spend little time trying to ensure that this word, which is truth and sets us free, as we heard last week, is preserved in our midst. So we become very passive when it comes to our relationship with God and the working of God through his word in our lives. But then we become all active, hot and bothered when a neighbor might not treat us in the way that God treats us. When a neighbor sins against us. And then when we sin against our neighbor, we tend to pretend as if it's no big deal, that they should have expected it, for they had it coming. And then we feel like all should just be fine. For we do not love our neighbors as much as we love our children, do we? If we loved our neighbors with that same kind of love by which we love our children, we would be forgiving of them. We would treat them all as the father treated his own prodigal son. We would speak well of our neighbors at all times. We would forgive our neighbors not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. If in love we viewed our neighbors as God's children, whom God has redeemed by his own blood, we would not hold grudges, nor could we hold any type of animosity against anyone ever. Think about it. We are all sinners. None of us can produce perfect righteousness. And since we are no better than the next one, we should expect ourselves to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. But when we refuse or when we feel that we are unable to forgive, we are placing ourselves on a pedestal that is higher than they are, and we are pretending that we are somehow better than they are. And when that happens, we are to turn to our Lord on our knees in repentance. And yet this makes God's love toward us even more amazing. For we are on the same plane as our neighbor, but God is not on the same plane as we are. God is holy, we are not. God is righteous, we, according to our human nature, are unrighteous. God is love, but we, being fallen creatures, are often filled with anger and resentment. And look at how God treats us anyway. We have a hard time forgiving those who are on the same plane as we are, but yet God forgives us with unconditional love and forgiveness. Why does he? Because he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to bear our sins in his own body, who shed his innocent blood on our behalf, and who has taken away the sin of the entire world. There is hardly a person whom we would give up our lives for. Of course, we would do it for our children, would we not? But who else? This demonstrates, though, that we do not have the love for our neighbor by which we are to love them. But what did Jesus do? He saw us who are sinners, who have rebelled against him. And he loved us by taking on our sin and giving up his life in our place. He went to the cross to bear our sins in his body, suffering the wrath of God and shedding his blood. He did so out of his unconditional love for us. In fact, the love by which he loves you is greater than the love that you have for your own children. Because God loves you and has rendered perfect satisfaction for your sin, you are now called a child of God. And if you are a child of God, Jesus, of course, is your brother, that means all others in Christ are also children of God, which means that all others in Christ are your brothers and your sisters. Because Jesus has atoned for all of our sin and has taken them all away, we are now declared righteous by God. We are declared saints. We are declared acceptable to heaven. So even though we have been unprofitable servants, Jesus has cleansed us by his blood, and he calls us holy ones. Our sin is now replaced with the very righteousness of Jesus. And so God, who not only calls us to be his children, also declares that we sinners are saints, holy ones, without blemish, perfect in every way, righteous, for you have been covered with the very righteousness of Jesus. This is unconditional love, love that God has bestowed on you. Love by which you are now purified and holy in Christ. He sees you not as the sinner that you hopefully recognize yourself to be, but in Christ he now sees you as a saint, a holy one. He no longer sees your sins and faults. He no longer sees your weaknesses and inabilities. He no longer sees you as a sinner, but he sees you as his dear child, and he holds you as the apple of his eye. See what kind of love the Father has given to you. Because God loves you in this way, you are now called to love your neighbors in this same way, your very brothers and sisters in Christ. We have no excuses, and we cannot justify doing anything less than that. And when we fail, for we always will, we plead guilty, we repent, we beg God for mercy, we ask him for the ability to forgive as God has already forgiven us, and we ask him for that ability to treat all people as the Father had treated his own prodigal son. That's how God's children live. For you now bear the name of God in your baptism. You have been bought at a price, You have been rescued from your slavery to sin, death, and the devil, and you have been added to the family of God as his dearly beloved. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. In Christ, by grace through faith, you are numbered among the saints. To be a saint is nothing other than to be holy. But you cannot muster up holiness on your own, but instead your holiness is borrowed, that is, it comes from God. It is received from him by faith. You are holy, not because of what you have done, or not even because of your own failures or faults, but you are holy because of the Lord's work, for he has declared you holy, a saint, a child of God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is All Saints' Day. Today is the day that we remember all the saints of God. So know that you are a saint of God. Know that those sitting around you are saints of God. And know that those who have lived their lives before us and now rest from their labors are also saints of God, whom Jesus redeemed by his blood and grants eternal life. And know this, that your brothers and sisters in Christ, they are saints of God, children of God, loved by him, forgiven. And so blessed are you to have this as your family. And blessed are you to call God your Father. And blessed are you that you are a saint. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.